The League of Legends betting podcast is brought to you by my patrons at patreon.com/gelatilol. There you can find bonus content like in-depth articles on macro trend analysis and league previews, as well as thoughts on breaking news and the podcast picks before the show is released to platforms. You also get to support your creators more directly. patreon.com/gelatilol. That's G-E-L-A-T-I-L-O-L. Good afternoon, everybody. It's currently about 5 o'clock Eastern on Thursday, April 4th. Just a weird, from the side's perspective, just a brutal day today. Essentially a triple stake on FPX. They lose 3-1 outright to Ninjas in Pajamas. T1 gets swept in decisive fashion by Hanwha Life Esports. Sometimes when you're doing this, the handicapping makes you look like a total idiot, and it feels terrible. Luckily, there was work put in on this. In good news, we had all three of the kill total overs, the alt kill total overs, get home in the T1 Hanwha series. That was a pretty huge swing that actually salvaged this day. We only ended up down 0.2 units. So apologies if you tailed on the side and didn't on those, but sometimes that's the way this goes. This was a brutal day. T1, frankly, so T1 in the first game, I thought, had a bit of an odd draft. The second two games, the drafts were fine. I actually liked their approach in the third game particularly, just kind of looking for an early and mid-game comp and trying to snowball and get some momentum, especially from a losing position. I actually liked that adjustment from Koma. Unfortunately, T1 just were not playing well today. I know a lot of people were bitching and moaning about T1, and I know there's a lot being made of this press conference that came out after the game with Faker, and Faker talking about the DDoS attacks and how they're just getting griefed in solo queue and how they can't practice. I know it sounds like excuses, and I know T1 have become the Dallas Cowboys. Like, everyone hates them. It's really easy to hate them. They're the most popular team with margin. It's not even remotely close. But I will, and I'm not making excuses for them, but I'll mention, like, it's a thing. Apparently teams have just stopped scrimming against them because it's just disrupted all the time. The players can't practice in solo queue. I think part of this is responsibility of the team to try to figure something out to adjust for this, but or maybe like move off site and practice off site. I don't know what solutions they can come up with, but they have to come up with something because they looked like shit today, and this is stuff that's been happening all year. This is not a new problem for them. The scrim part of it is relatively new, but the griefing and the solo queue stuff, and it's not that other teams don't deal with similar things, but because T1 are as immensely popular as they are, they're obviously going to be the target of a lot of things, and, you know, that sucks. That sucks for any team. It's bad for the product. It's bad for the league. You know, you want to see competitive stuff, but, I'll skip over all of this because, again, like, I'm not an apologist here. I'm not making excuses, but, like, it makes sense, right? Like, T1 looked like shit today. I honestly, like, they looked fine otherwise. Like, I don't think this was something that... I don't think it's why they lost this series. Like, I think they just didn't look great in general. And the difference between how they looked at the end of the season and now is... I think even with Azir disabled, they looked a lot better in their last few matches than they did here. They got absolutely walloped today. This was not a close series. The third game was pretty... They had a good start in the third game and just bungled it. The first game probably could have gone either way. Second game was pretty decisive for Hanwha, though. And Hanwha are... We know what they are. You can't make mistakes against them. I thought T1 probably should have won the first game. Not, like, drastically. I thought they were, like, probably 60-40 to win that first game. And they made one mistake, got picked off before Baron. It flipped into a Baron, and that game was just over. Like, once Hanwha gets control, it's just done. I would still play the same position. I have no question about that. I was more heavy on the kill totals yesterday. I thought that was the stronger play of the two. Got there in that. I will more than likely be going to bat with T1 when this rematch happens, because inevitably there is going to be a rematch between these two. I just have a feeling Hanwha are going to get knocked down to loser's bracket by Gen G. But you know what? I talked a lot about T1 today. I need to say it. Like Hanwha played an incredible series today. This was one of their best series of the year. This was by far their best matchup, like game grade wise and just qualitatively watching this series. This was Hanwha's best performance of the year against a good team. They looked great. In two of these games, they were very proactive. In the early game, they were actually making shit happen, which is not something that's on brand for them. I was very impressed. They looked great. They looked excellent. Hanwha could have won this series even if T1 was playing well. They played that well today. But the only reason this ended up as a 3-0 is because you got the parlay of Hanwha playing, you know, a 90th percentile series and T1 playing a, you know, bottom quartile series, if not worse. You know, like the only way you get a 3-0 between the only way you have a team that's as good as T1 is get 3-0'd like this is you have to have both happen. It's a perfect parlay, right? Hanwha played exceptional today. I don't know what else to say. They were great. Like that was the main. Like I don't want to take anything away from Hanwha in this series. Like the main reason they won today is because they just played a ridiculous series today. They were excellent. This was not just T1 playing badly as a reason. You know, T1 playing badly was the reason it was a 3-0. But Hanwha could have won this series if T1 were in good form. That's how well they played today. So good for them. Like I said, I'll probably be going back to the well with T1 in the rematch because we're probably going to get an even better price. And I highly doubt we see a performance that bad again. And I highly doubt that we see a performance that good again from Hanwha at the same time. So I will almost definitely be going to war with T1 in the rematch. We'll see how that goes and if we get that rematch. The LPL match, oh man, this was disappointing. NIP got the jump on FPX in the first game of that series. They really just completely blew them out in the early game in this one. It was not really close at all. They had it was almost a 3,500 gold lead at 15 minutes, if I remember right. They just jumped on them. FPX looked a little sluggish out the gate. NIP had a series under their belt already. I mentioned in the handicap yesterday that sometimes you get that dynamic with the teams that had a bye coming in cold while the other team had, you know, some stage prep a couple days before. There's a rust factor. I tend to think that the prep advantage is a little bit better, but sometimes the coming in cold matters a lot more and the other team gets momentum. That was one of the concerns I did have against FPX. The other concern I had with FPX was the playoff debutant angle with Milky Way, but I got to tell you folks, like that did not matter. Milky Way was great in this series. And it's a bummer that this happened before double elimination, so FPX are done. We'll see what the future holds with them and how this is all going to shake out with the loan. I believe he's in for the rest of the year, but I guess we'll figure that out in summer. It's a real bummer to see FPX out of playoffs this early. I think the LPL is kind of stratified into like the three elite teams in top BLG and JDG, and then FPX looked like they were like the elite team, like the Diet elite team or the Junior elite team, and then everybody else I think is just like a cut below, including NIP. So it's kind of a bummer that we're not going to get to see them anymore, because it feels like you've knocked out one of the elite teams before we get double elimination. We're not even going to get to see two series from them. It's a shame, but it is what it is. NIP, I will say this, like similar vein here, I gotta give props to them. This was their best series of the year. It wasn't even close. In fact, just going by game grades, I do model like quantitative game grades, based primarily, it's heavily weighted toward economy stats and everything. So grain of salt and everything, it's not perfect, but, qualitatively, like visually with my eyes, this was the best series of the year for NIP. They made very few mistakes in this series. They were excellent. The second game, the first game, I think they blew out this lead and they kind of flipped a situation they didn't have to, but really like other than that, they were crystal clear today. They were very, very good in this series. None of the weird goofy macro bullshit that they do. No throwing games. They really cleaned it up today. And they had two of their three best individual game grades for the entire season in this series. That's how well they played today. They had their second and third best individual game grades of the entire season today. So props to NIP. Unfortunately for me, I was on the wrong side of two glow-ups in the same day, double dog day in the Eastern slate, and both underdogs played their best series of the year. You know, sometimes when you're doing this shit, the universe, you know, slaps you in the face, and it is what it is. But can't sweat it. Just got to move on to the next one. You got to – I mean, there's – what they say, like, that's why you play the games, right? It's not all just numbers and everything, but that's why you play the games. That's why this is – there's a human element to this. And these guys stepped up today. Straight up, they did. So good on them. So we have one match in the LPL on Friday. There is no LCK match until Saturday. I'm only going to be doing this LPL, LPL match on this show. I know that the DFS slate is LPL Friday and Saturday, and then Saturday's LPL plus LCK. I don't have time to do it right now, but I'm going to try to do the Saturday LPL match and possibly the Saturday LCK match as well when I get home later tonight. It'll probably be, I don't know, sometime, it'll probably be a couple of hours before the LPL match, which is 6 p.m. or 6 a.m. Eastern tomorrow. I'll try to get this show out, like, with an hour, maybe 2 hours to spare. I don't know if I'm going to be able to. It just depends on how late I end up staying tonight. I usually have to stay late Thursday nights. So, depending on how that goes, I'll try to get that out in time to get this for the, because I know the DFS players want this. Generally speaking, just a quick look ahead, I wrote this on the Patreon, but like the BLG are super heavy handed price, and I don't know if like the model's gonna love NIP. NIP are coming off this series where, you know, they just gave you two of their three best game grades for the season. It's probably gonna be Ninjas in Pajamas or Pass. So just, that's how I would lean. I wrote more in the Patreon on it, but just wanted to give a look forward a little bit for the DFS players. Anyway, tomorrow we have a match between JD Gaming, who are -305 on the money line, the -1.5 maps at -130, the -2.5s at +240, against Weibo Gaming +239 on the money line, +1.5s at +107, +2.5s at -306, -1.5s at +469, and -2.5 is at +1188. JDG 12-2 straight up as favorites, but just 7-7 against the map spread. Most of those map spread losses were earlier in the year when they had that really sluggish start. Weibo 3-4 straight up as dogs, 4-3 against the map spread as dogs. Weibo won the head-to-head matchup 2-0. That was in week 8. Of note in that situation, JDG had already clinched a top 4 seed. It was a competitive game 1. Weibo completely blew them out in game 2. I mentioned, you know, I don't know what to really make of this matchup, because, like, on one hand, you could kind of throw it out because JDG had already clinched a top 4 seed at that point. And you could say, like, you know, maybe they were just sandbagging or punting the rest of the season. But I don't want to just straight up give them a pass for it, but I do want to consider the fact that that was a thing. You know, like, it wasn't just without, you know, cause. So I don't know. I'm treating it like an actual loss. The model sees just the numbers, so the model sees it as an actual loss. As a matter of fact, sees it as a pretty bad loss. But just wanted to mention that because it was just funky. Because, like, once, like, JDG kind of had a slow start to the season, but once they turned the corner, they looked like an elite team. They looked like their old selves. They looked excellent. And, you know, they even beat Top Esports 2-1. They had a really, really competitive match against BLG. But they ended the season, besides this Weibo 0-2 loss, they played Anyone's Legend, Invictus, and EDG. Like, three teams that aren't very good. So, like, they haven't really been tested all that much, and they're going to have to step into this match cold. And as I just talked about with the FPX NIP series, like, it doesn't always pan out that way, but sometimes you do see a team that just comes in cold. Like, I mean, JDG haven't played in more than a week. NIP have played 10 matches, or Weibo have played 10 matches already this week, or 10 games already this week in the past few days. And unlike traditional sports, I think the fatigue angle, I mean, it's a thing, but it's definitely not as big a deal as it is in traditional sports. As a matter of fact, especially if you're winning and playing well in those matches, like, the momentum can be better than the fatigue angle. But, you know, So Weibo have played 10 stage games already this week, and JDG are coming in cold. So I just wanted to mention that because that is a factor. We kind of saw that come into play today. FPX looked real sluggish in the first game After that, they were fine, but looked really sluggish in the first game. I mean, just looking at the numbers for this series, though, like, the non-filtered model made JDG, like, almost minus 400, like an 80-20 series. So the non-filtered model, like JDG did kind of, like, pub stomp on bad teams a little bit. The filtered model made this a lot closer. Like, it actually suggested a play on Weibo. But if you look at, like, the filtered tail of the tape and the filtered win-loss analysis that you can see on the Patreon here, like, JDG are still a 1,700-plus agnostic gold per minute against just the playoff teams, and they're a plus 55 agnostic differential per minute. Weibo are kind of, like, in that good but not great tier, 1,643 and minus 17. So JDG are still a world-class team. They're an elite team. These kind of numbers against other elite teams suggest that they're world-class and the other one is not. We saw the same thing this morning. It didn't work out with FPX, but I think unlike FPX, they weren't all playoff debutants, but Milky Way was. He played well today, but the other players have some playoff experience, but not a lot. This JDG team has seen it all. They've done everything. They've played on bigger stages than this. They are blue bloods. This is not a new thing for them. And if you look at, like, just their win-loss analysis, like, they have a significant lead at 20 and 30% of their games against playoff teams. They have a 77% closing rate. They have only 17% of their games with a significant deficit at 20. 80% of their losses, greatest quality losses. Like, this is a team that's good. Like, the JDG are world-class. I know they looked a little shaky at times, but I know that they're not as good as they were last year, but this is one of the elite three teams for a reason. And Weibo, you know, Weibo's actual win-loss analysis stuff isn't all that bad. They also have a lead more often than they don't at 20 minutes. They have a significant lead a respectable amount of the time, 23% of the time. But they have significant deficits a lot more often than, like, the real elite teams do. 30% of their games against good teams, they had a significant deficit at 20. Weibo have been a little bit strange this season. Early on, they were a team that was playing, like, the parity game where they would force parity, keep games close for a while, and then their mid and late game decision making was not great, so they would just, like, lose a lot of those games. The second half of the season, they became, like, they definitely improved their early game. It's not elite by any means, but they definitely improved their early game. They're definitely willing to play toward that. But they've also become, like, a lot more feast or famine. They have a better closing rate than they had before, which is a good thing. They have a better early game than they had before, which is a good thing. But they also have been kind of getting stomped really badly a lot more often than they were. So, like, they've kind of morphed into, like, a version of KT Rolster a little bit, where they either snowball and run away with the game or they just get shit stomped. And I don't really like those kind of teams in a best of five. I do usually like those teams as huge underdogs, but, you know, in this situation, it's an elite team versus a non-elite team. Like, Weibo are good, but they're not great. Like, this is not an elite team. I'm going to definitely, like, I give a bump for side choice. I give a bump for elite team versus non-elite team. I still can't quite get to this number, just quantitatively. There's not enough adjustments I can really make to really get to this number that are reasonable. If I get a heavy bump for side choice and a heavy bump for just, like, if I just, like, make a manual adjustment to it, I can get this, like, into the, like, minus 260-ish. I can't quite get it to minus 330 or 300 or whatever we're at now. All the different books have wildly different prices on this, but I'm using Pinnacles minus 305. Can't quite get it there. At the same time, though, like, in a best of five series, I just have a really, really hard time seeing JDG ever lose a series to this team. Like, we could get another parlay of JDG playing a bottom quartile and Weibo playing a 90th percentile series, and that's kind of what we saw with NIP and FPX and with Hanwha and T1 today. We could get another one of those. Sometimes shit happens, right? But if these two teams play, like, around their median, even if JDG play, like, slightly below and Weibo play slightly above, JDG are probably still going to win this series. Over five games, I think this team's just too versatile. They're too good. I think their individual player quality is vastly superior to... I think they have better players in every single position over Weibo. And I don't say that lightly, but, like, I think they've now seen enough games from Weibo that I think if they don't have a good plan for this, then their coaching staff should be fired, because they've seen enough now that they could take advantage of this. So yeah, I don't know. I know I'm overpaying. I was looking for a cheaper way to play this through like kill spreads or like some other derivative, but I'm just going to, this is a very qualitative, intuitive handicap. I'm just going to play JDG on the money line minus 305 for 2 units. I couldn't get to this price. I'm trusting my gut on this one. I'm going to go with the Blue Bloods. JDG, this is not a playoff debutante situation. I'm a little worried about the rust factor with Weibo having played 10 games, but if JDG, I'll pay to see it, basically. Like, if JDG don't have a good plan to stifle what Weibo are doing, Weibo have been playing good but not great. Like, NIP played a ridiculous series this morning. Hanwha played a ridiculous series this morning, and that's how you got those results. Weibo haven't been playing like that, and I doubt that we see that. If we do, then I'll pay to see it. But I play JDG on the money line, minus 305 for 2 units. That's my only play for this match. I didn't play any of the derivatives. I would lean toward kill total unders in this match. Both these teams have a below league average combined kill per minute, especially Weibo, who are well below league average. So I wouldn't play any kind of overs in this unless you wanted to, you know, gamble, I guess. But no overs for me, just a straight up money line play on JDG. That's going to be it for me, and I will see you guys hopefully later tonight.